Talking with TD. Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We have another show for you. Man, four losses in a row for your Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that. We'll talk a little shop previewing the next game, which will be on Saturday, a frigid game at that. ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter DJ Bien-Aimé will be on to talk shop about that. We'll run into, you know, I don't know what Chris Sanders, forever Titans receiver, and I will get into, but we'll make it work, man. And that's, we tend to be best when we just let it flow, you know, and that's what we're going to do. And of course, we got David James making this thing happen over here.
Yes, sir.
Man, I guess, let's start from the tippy. From the top, 17-14 loss to the Chargers, a road loss. A lot of things in here to be alarmed about, right? You continue to see Ryan Tannehill running for his life behind this offensive line. You know, Dennis Daly has had his struggles. Dylan Raiders came in, you know, gave a good 10 snaps at left tackle, a solid 10 snaps. But I remember watching the one pass drop he took, and he limped a little bit after the play, and it was back to Dennis Daly. And bad things happened. But it's not just Dennis Daly. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer got beat for a sack. You know, Kyle Van Noy got him. I don't even remember the dude's name. Graziano or something like that beat Aaron Brewer for a sack, right? And then you had Chris Rumpf II beat Petit-Ferrer for a sack, and that one ended up making a field goal. You know what? I'm gonna be honest with you, David. Even a 51-yarder, that should have been made also. Yeah. But it took a field goal from 42 yards to 51. And you know what? The 42-yarder might have been difficult, you know, when you're talking about Randy Bullock, because he hasn't been, you know, the best kicker this year. I mean, he's been solid. Typically from 40 to 49, he's been solid. But there have been some misses where it's like, come on, man. You can't miss those. So either way, I'm curious, just so here's the thing. It's easy to sit up here, right, and not be the guy who has, you know, a bunch of defensive players trying to take your head off, you know, rushing you, and say, hey, you should have hit this person, you should have hit that person. I will say this, on that play, Hassan Haskins was open on a swing route, it would have been short of the sticks. Like, he would have caught the ball short of the sticks. And would have had to make one guy miss. But I think, you know, in these situations, you should be able to expect your player as a coach to make a guy miss. It didn't happen. You had the backside pressure coming, and Tannehill got sacked. But you know what? Can we just take a second and recognize what Tannehill did? I mean, this guy had his ankle rolled up on him. It was ugly. He had Khalil Mack rolled up on his ankle. After a little bit, he got up and walked off. He went to the blue tent, and then they carted him into the locker room. I asked him about that cart ride, just, you know, the roller coaster of going from being on a cart to, you know, a little bit later coming out there and being back in the game, because that's not something you normally see. And as a football player, you get put on that cart, man, that does things to you mentally. And for him to be able to come back, I shout him out for that, but here was the secret. He could have walked to the locker room. He only didn't because in the interest of time, they were trying to get him into the locker room. But then also the length, the distance. Let me tell you, to go from that sideline to the locker room, that was a bit of a walk, man. It was a bit of a walk. So they wanted to get him over there as quick as possible. And lo and behold, you know, Mr. Miyagi, he did that. He clapped his hands together and rubbed them and put that mojo on that ankle, and Tannehill came back and played. Of course, that thing was taped up heavily, but I wanted to make sure that we pointed that out. And that little bit of time that Malik Willis was out there, you know, he was really, really, really comfortable. That's what Todd Downing said. That's what Mike Vrabel said as well. So Those are positive things there. I mean, obviously, it's more than likely that Tannehill will not be the quarterback, and Willis will be out there. So, you know, those that series that he got was really good for, Willis. And Treylon Burks has practiced, so there's a good chance he passes protocol and he's back on the field as well. I think, though, overall, man, like a solid defensive effort was wasted, in my opinion. Obviously, you know, they put up 17 points. Justin Herbert threw for over 300 yards, which is becoming a habit against the Titans. You know, 300-yard passers. This is the third in a row. Fortunately for the Titans, you know, Josh Allen had an outstanding game, so he was named AFC Player of the Week, and it wouldn't have been three consecutive Player of the Week conference awards, you know, given to Titans opponents. But nevertheless, two turnovers, right? Now, the first one, I think, and we're going to talk about this guy a little bit because he's floating under the radar as somebody that's been a actually pleasant surprise for the Titans. But the first one was caused, and Kevin Byard had the interception. He swooped in front of Mike Williams, picked it off. But what allowed Byard to do that, you know, to kind of go unnoticed by Justin Herbert was the rush that DeMarcus Walker had. And that bull rush is becoming something terrible. You know, he had a couple sacks on that. And he had a pressure. You know, you hear the Titans always talking about impact the quarterback. How many times have you heard Jeffrey Simmons say that? You've heard Mike Vrabel say that. You've heard Terrell Williams, the D-line coach, say that. Impact the quarterback to force turnovers. There's your perfect example. That was the first turnover. Now, Byard's interception, that cut a streak of 162 consecutive passes that Justin Herbert had without throwing a pick. This Chargers team was plus four overall in the turnover ratio. The Titans emerged out of this game plus two. The second pick, Roger McCreary. What an interception. What an interception. You know, this guy was going out of bounds. He had the wherewithal to grab it and throw it back in bounds, and Josh Kalu was able to, you know, get a little toe tap going in there and catch it in bounds, and that erased 3 points off of the scoreboard. Justin Herbert did what he was supposed to do in that play. He threw it away. Like, he threw it. Hey, look, I'm going to throw it where you can't get it. But Roger McCreary had a different idea in mind. But I want to go back to what we touched on earlier, and that's the DeMarcus Walker. Now, he has 6.5 sacks. He's third on the team. He's playing 32% of the snaps, folks. He's not playing as much as everyone else, but he has 6.5 sacks. And he had two against the Chargers. And then, again, that pressure that he had as well. He set career highs in QB hits with 13, sacks with 6.5, and if I'm not mistaken, 8 tackles for a loss. All of these are career highs for DeMarcus Walker, who was a second-round pick out of Florida State. Ironically, his comp, NFL comp, was Mario Edwards, who was his teammate there, Mario Edwards Jr., let's be clear. But here's Mike Vrabel talking about the contribution and just, you know, what he's gotten from Walker this year.
You know, really hard. I think he had some good rushes, power rushes, and played with a lot of energy. Taken advantage of the more snaps that he's gotten and been productive. So hopefully he can help us. He's been very durable and works extremely hard, and I appreciate his attitude. You know, really hard.
Now, he's one of those guys where you see him out there in practice, you know, and it's all energy. You know, I post the D-line videos a lot because it's just fun watching them, but you see him, you know, stepping up in those and taking those reps and going hard, and as you mentioned, or as Mike Vrabel mentioned, you know, playing with a lot of energy. But we're going to go to Shane Bone as well and hear what he had to say on Walker.
He's been great since he's been here, since the first day he walked really onto the field for us. He's been the same guy, right? He works hard. He focuses on fundamentals, the details of his job. I think he's a leader. He plays with emotion. He plays hard. I mean, a lot of effort stuff showing up. He had two great power rushes last week where he affected the quarterback and was able to get him. But he's just consistent, you know. He's consistent, he's reliable. I think we all got a lot of trust in him. He's earned more opportunities, and he's made the most of them.
Guys,
they have it right there, consistent, earning more opportunities, making the most of them. You heard Mike Vrabel say that as well about maximizing opportunities, and that's what he's done. So there is a positive there, but, I mean, I think when you look overall, man, there's a lot where you see even, you know, Kevin Byard after the Chargers game, you know, he said right now it doesn't look like we could beat anybody, you know, and that's the emotion that you have right there. And Kevin Byard is a guy who consistently gives off the positive energy, consistently, you know, is upbeat. That was the worst I've ever seen Kevin Byard in you know, the quick 5 years that I've covered this team. And, you know, the only other time I saw him that pissed off was after the Bills game, the one where the ball went through Nick Williams' hand and Mariota, he didn't see Jonnu Smith running the corner route and came back from the right to the left and threw it to Nick Williams, and it went through his hands. I remember talking to Kevin Byard after that game, and he was sick. And I get it. So there's a lot that has to happen for this team to maintain, like, that vibe that they have. Now, I will say Wednesday in the locker room, things did seem a bit back to normal. Talking to Roger McCreary was really good when we got to talk to him on Tuesday. And he has some pretty interesting things to say about the leaders of the team and a guy that you may not have thought would be a source of positive energy.
Just first to start off with them just keeping a positive, keeping that energy, keeping on positive, just trying to get better throughout the whole week. It started with them because there'll be some players I'll be bad, I'll be down, I'll be like, damn, I'm messing up for the team. But like guys like him and the leaders, they'll keep that positive energy, be like, this is one play that's just that. Just keep pushing, we still got more room to play. It's just stuff like that positive energy, and everybody's like that throughout the locker room. So I feel like as long as you keep that positive mindset and energy, I feel like we're gonna be great at the end.
Coach Mitchell had mentioned, you know, that you take some of the things that have happened, like, very personally for you. Like, what's the key to kind of learning from it, but also turning the page and rolling forward to another good play?
I feel like with me, that's one of the hardest things with me, because, you know, I'm always hard on myself. Even if it's a missed tackle and that got to a first down, I'm going to be hard on myself throughout the whole game with that. But it's just with me, I say me personally, I just got to, like, move on to the next page and just try to do good throughout the whole game. We'll be better throughout the whole game because we still got more room to play in that game. So I just can't think about that. But with me, personally, me, I feel like that's something I got to work on, not trying to be so hard on myself, but just turn the next page.
So that was McCreary, and I evidently, and that's my mistake, I thought I kept it rolling and had the part where he mentioned Willis. But he said that, you know, Malik Willis is a guy, and that's the surprise source that I was speaking of. But they knew each other from their days together at Auburn. As we know, Malik Willis was at Auburn and transferred to Liberty. But he said that, you know, when things happened with the intercept, what should have been an interception that ended up being a Zay Jones touchdown, he said Malik was a guy to come over to him, you know, and give him positive words. And he said that he's just a guy that's always a source of positive energy. So I thought that was pretty cool that the rookie quarterback is already taking hold of being responsible, you know, taking it upon himself to be a positive light for the team. That was, and especially for a defensive player. But let's actually hear from Willis, because we talked to him on Wednesday and he shared just kind of the outlook, the reason why he's always able to be positive. I thought it was really unique. So you're going to hear that. But first, just hear a little bit about how he was able to, you know, get more comfortable in the offense and with his role. Here's Malik Willis.
It's more like any relationship you have, you just become a control of the starting to get used to this, how it goes.
Roger McCreary mentioned that one of your best attributes is positivity. You take a time like this, and that's all you need to get. How important is that for you to get out there?
I'm worried about that. We always know. bring that into the week. You're trying to be
prepared.
There's so much more.
Y'all wouldn't have the keys.
Worrying about 48 losing streak. Yes, this is our job. This is what we do. It's not our life. It's not our place. You got to understand that. That's how you bring joy comes from the inside. It doesn't. It's not about like we're winning games. Like, oh, super happy. No, it doesn't work. You wake up in the morning, you should be thankful. It's a great part. That's
all. So that was Malik Willis. You wake up in the morning, you should be thankful. And as you folks know, I always say, you know what? I woke up, so I won. So I love the fact that he has that approach. And you need that, right? You have to put things in perspective. This is a business. It is their job. Obviously, they want to be successful. You, ladies and gentlemen, you invest hard-earned money and time into this. So you want to see a good product as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's more to it. So I just wanted to that public service announcement. No, I'm just kidding. Facts, though. You know, definitely I appreciate the emotion and just the passion that you guys have for your team. And definitely I want you guys to see a winner. We'll see what happens on Saturday against the Texans. Maybe, just maybe, they'll pull out a win for you. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC.
What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, Nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run TMC. For you.
Well, you know what time it is.
And you know this, man.
The music fades, the lights dim. I think today we're going to go to Detroit.
And now, coming to you live from the palace at Auburn Hills in Detroit, Michigan. Starting at point guard from Indiana, number 11, Isaiah Thomas.
And now, starring in the Jefferson as his son, Lionel Jefferson.
I don't have anything to say to that.
Hey, we about to shut the show down right there because you do look like Lionel, man. Lionel Jefferson. What's cracking, Lacker, man? How you doing,
you,
man?
You could have at least said I look like Grady. I had people tell me I look like Grady from Sanford. <Nah. laughs>
That show was good, though, man. I was going to say that, but nah, he looks better than you, though.
Well, all right. Yeah. Well, you know what? Since you were kept it on a high note, I'll leave it. I was about to say I'd rather somebody say I look like Grady than Seal, but we won't just leave it.
If somebody call you Seal, man, you need to never come out the house, and I say that respectfully.
Yeah.
Stay in the house. If somebody asks you to come over for a Domino's game, nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Speaking of staying in the house,
yeah,
that's what this Titans team is going to do over the next couple of weeks, stay in the house, right? Yeah. They'll be at Nissan Stadium. And Saturday's game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if when you guys call me at 10:45 and we're talking, and my voice is like this, and I'm like, just understand.
Yeah.
I will be standing outside in what could possibly be the coldest game ever in Nashville.
Are you serious?
23 degrees was the coldest game.
Yeah, but that was when we played Buffalo, 1999, right?
I don't know when it was, but I just know what it was.
Your lips going to be ashy too, bro.
No, I don't get my LL on all the time, man. Mm-hmm. I get that on, especially, you know, Especially, yeah. Well, we go just let that one go. So let's talk about this game, right?
Sure,
so
sure.
It's going to be in with the wind chill, I believe in single digits. It's going to be in the right. teens.
Ooh.
Obviously, you having played in some cold weather games, you know, being from Absolutely. Denver and playing at Ohio State. Let me know what they did back, you know, when you guys wore the leather helmets and stuff. How did you guys stay warm? Like, what was the trick, man? Hey. You got some tips for them?
Oh, man, I got the hand warmers. I got auto stuff. But here's what we did is we just gave the ball to 27. Hey, they run the clock out. Hope the game gets out really quick. But we just gave the ball to 27 and act like we was blocking. I mean, I remember 1999, we was on our way to the Super Bowl. We played the Cleveland Browns, and that was when Eddie George had, I think, 219 yards, and it was snowing. It was coming off that lake. And I'm going to tell you something. It was so cold that when we called timeout, the Cleveland Brown guys got mad at us because we called timeout. That's how cold it was.
They wanted to keep going.
Oh, they was like, man, let's get up out of here. It's too cold. Because, see, the thing about it is, the reason why I'm kind of glad that it's a cold game for the Tennessee Titans, because it benefits the Tennessee Titans. And the reason why I say it benefits them is nobody wants to tackle a 6'3", 250-pounder coming straight down here when it's cold, because when you get hit in the mouth when it's cold, it is not fun, and you do not want to play in a game like that.
In that game, did you, like, see that happening, just the desire – The wherewithal to tackle Eddie George? Did you see it just deteriorate?
Man, in the first two plays, I mean, it was done. I mean, when Eddie George hit, I think he had a 40-yard touchdown. If you will go back and watch the film, nobody wanted to tackle him. Nobody wanted to, you know, to really, you know, butt up with him, because it was cold, and, you know, the helmets are hard, the ball is hard, your hands are frozen, you know, your body's not moving as quick as it used to be because it's really, really stiff. So, man, there's so many things that are going on that you have to really stay focused. I remember a story. Just like I said, we were playing the Cleveland Browns. Derek, you know, as a receivers, we didn't wear nothing underneath our pads because, you know, we tough guys. They call us divas. You know, we tough. We got a little toughness in them. So we run out there, and Derek is like, yeah, man, it ain't cold out here, man. Well, such and such. About 5 minutes into the game, I said, Derek, is it cold? He was like, mm-hmm, I'm ready to go home.
Yo.
He had a high voice, too. He's like, mm-hmm, yeah. It was freezing, dude.
I tell you what, these guys ain't got a little advanced, man. I went through the locker room and talked to a lot of them today.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Woods, well, you know, I'll start with Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. You know, Trey, this back in Green Bay, he told me, and I was surprised because I was telling him what I used to do, you know, wear the latex gloves underneath your receiver gloves. Now, back then, you know, we had the Newmans. You know what I mean? This stuff with the built-in stickum that they got now is a different story.
Crazy.
But he was like, yeah, that's what I do. And I'm like, bro, how do you get latex gloves size 4XL hands? You know what I mean? But he managed to find them. Robert Woods, he had something called warm skin that he said he puts on. And he said it clogs your pores and acts as a second layer of skin.
Oh, what in the world?
Yeah. And then some of the guys also talked about they wore a scuba suit.
man, what in the Sammy Hill is going on,
It's
man?
A lot different from the 70s, ain't it? Nah, let me stop.
Hey, but what I did, what helped me to keep my hands warm is I had that little pouch that I wore around my waist. But then here's the thing. I had, and I'm not exaggerating, I had about 6 or 7 hot packs in there. And when the play, before the play was getting ready to happen, I would consistently squeeze my hands to where they were warm on that play. But once I took them out and caught a pass, then I'll put my hands back in there. Because the thing about it is, the one thing we got to understand is, you know, it's not just about the elements. It's not just about the snow or the cold. It's about how hard the ball is.
Yes.
The ball is hard. It's like a brick. Yep. So it's not to where when you're catching it, you catch it with soft hands. You got to make sure you concentrate and have warm hands so you can catch the ball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the key thing. And it's like when you're out there, it's cold, but it's not the same cold as when you get off that field. Lord have mercy. I remember in school we had a game against California PA, which is in the Pittsburgh area, right?
Yeah.
And it was snowing. And I remember I did my little latex trick, all that good stuff. Halftime, we you know, I wanted to change pants. Like, I was trying to do something to get one. I could not undo my belt. And my hands were so cold, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, hey, man, God bless these guys that are out there on Saturday. They're going to have to do what they got to do. I guess, you know, you could say it's all in the mind, but, man, it goes beyond that.
But you know what, TD, I'm not really worried about the hands because they're going to figure out a way to keep their hands warm. It's the feet.
Yeah.
My feet were like bricks. I mean, there's nothing you can do because the air is going to get to them. You can do anything you want to, but the air is going to get to your feet. So, you know, when you're talking about guys that have ankle, you know, that hurt their ankle, like Canning, I don't know if he's playing or not, like with Jeffrey Simmons, how can they hold up the whole game when their feet is frozen like mm-hmm. that? That's going to be the issue right there.
That's a great point because the ground is hard.
You know
what I mean?
Yes.
So every time you're running, you know, that, you don't have that surface to absorb impact like grass normally does. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just sticking and man,
absolutely.
That's gonna be a tough situation for them. But let's turn the page and talk a little bit about something else, right? Because you know, I will say this, for the first time, I sent something a little bit different from Kevin Byard. I wasn't energized. Normally KB is a guy, right? You walk mm-hmm. away from like, damn, all right.
Yeah.
You know, because he exudes energy, positive energy. It was different after the game on Sunday. So when you watch the Titans, like, how do you see the body language?
Your body language is bad right now. And just look at the interviews. And I say this in a respectful way. Look at the body language of Michael Vrabel. Mm-hmm. He's in a grouchy mood. And I'm not being disrespectful, but your body language is going to tell you how you feel. If somebody asks you a question and you're really sharp, that's what's in your heart. So, you know, their body language is not really good right now. And your posture is not. And then I looked at Byer when he did the interview. I know his body language was bad, but that concerns me. But let me tell you what concerns me the most is I wrote down a quote. He said this. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't care mm-hmm. if we win the AFC South. We can't beat anybody. Now, let me break down two words that are very scary. Don't care. That is, if you can overcome an offensive line. You can go draft some people. You can go get some people to come in. You can come back for some different things. But when you have a situation to where you say, I don't care, and you start getting in the locker room where everybody's body language is like, I don't care, that is a very big problem.
Yeah, I get that. But I think, you know, more what he was saying.
I know.
Was he's not worried about the division right now.
Right,
Before that. He's worried about them just being able to beat somebody because he said right now we don't look like a team that could beat anybody.
Yeah, right. I agree.
After a performance like that on the defense and having the offense do like that's deflating, man. That's deflating.
But see, here's the thing, man. And I'm not trying to be Mr. Rah Rah guy or Mr. Coach guy, but they've been in this spot before. They were 2-4. They were looking bad. And you came in, you can turn the situation around. And I'm not trying to bring my situation into the forefront, but I went through a situation last year when I coached for the Montgomery Bell Academy, you know, Big Red. We were staring at 1-4, and we weren't even in the meat of our schedule.
Right.
So if I'm the head coach and I'm the leaders of the team and I show bad body language, that's going to feed off in everybody else. But if I come in and be like, you know what, I'm not talking about running around honking, hey, that's great. No, let's go get this thing done. Let's lock arms. Let's go get this thing. And just like what you put outside the state and we believe, this is where you got to believe. It's not when you believe when you're 7-2. Anybody can believe that, but what happens when you're 7-7 and everybody's saying you can't do it? It's time to believe when the fan base has said, I give up on the Tennessee Titans. This is when you got to believe.
And that's the thing. Mike Vrabel has consistently said, hey, no front runners.
Absolutely.
And I get that. And he's right. For the most part, they haven't been. But you talk about verbal and just body. So normally, now this was on Monday. Normally, Coach Vrabel comes to the podium, and I always note this because the second time I told him, you know, he was like, how's it going? I told him good. He said, no, you got to be great, right? Yeah. So now every time I'm paying attention a little bit more.
Yep.
Teresa Walker, Coach Vrabel, how's it going? Right?
Yeah.
Normally, he smiles and he says great.
Yeah.
He had a look on his face, not a defeated look, but just a look of, man, what the hell, right?
Wow.
And he said, He said, I'm okay, or all right, or something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't even good. Definitely not great.
Right.
This losing is killing Coach Vrabel.
Yeah, it is.
It's killing half these guys. Like Jeff Sims. It's killing Jeff Sims. It's a lot of these guys, man.
Yeah.
But you could just visibly see, like, Coach Vrabel was like, what the heck? This team has never lost four games in a row under Coach Vrabel. They haven't. This is the first time this happened in 5 years. Something has to give.
But you know what it is? I'm not trying to bring my situation to the party, but it's the principle that I'm saying.
It's relevant experience.
It's relevant experience. Well, I remember sitting in the meeting room when we were 1-4. I mean, our hearts were broken. I mean, we were broken. Our kids were broken because we're doing everything we can to try to win, and they're broken. But here's what our head coach said. He says, fellas, I don't know what to do. Ooh. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight. And you know what we did? All the coaches stood up and hugged each other and said, Coach, we fighting with you. Mm. And guess what? We walked out of that meeting room with those players waiting on the turf with us. We said, guess what, guys? We're going to fight. And we went, I'm not trying to get teary-eyed. But
That's one of those – you feel it.
Them kids. Them kids looked at us. And that Monday, we had one of the best practices we had that whole season. We went 2-4, 3-4, 4-4, 5-4, 6-4, 7-4, 8-4, 9-4, playoffs, one, second round, one, state in the state championship.
See. And I've been in that locker room.
Man.
And I've heard Coach talk, and I watched you guys, actually, you didn't know it, but I watched you guys meet before he went over and talked to the team. And I heard the defensive coordinator talk where he was saying, that staff is strong, man. Like, y'all got something.
I didn't mean to get all emotional, man, but it's real.
Exactly. It's real. It is real. And sometimes.
Because I've been there. I know how Mike Vrabel feels, man. I know it.
Yeah.
I know it. I'm not trying to be Mr. Sensitive guy or like Ralph Tresvant, but
so emotional.
Yeah, so emotional. But I left one of the games home with just tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
Not for me, because those kids are spilling their guts out. Mm-hmm. So what do I need to do? Let me get better. Instead of getting bitter and walking around campus with a sore face, let me have a smile on my face. Hey, you know what? I'm smiling because guess what? The next team that's going to play me, I'm kicking you square in the teeth.
Kicking your butt. And that's what Mike Vrabel said, too. Because I asked him about just how the energy has been for the guys. Yeah. And if it's been the same. You know, and he said, man, these guys are playing their butts off. You know what I mean? So it's the same concept as what you just said. And that's something that's critical. I just feel... this team, and I feel like I have to say it.
Yeah.
Injuries are killing them. And I'm playing Captain Obvious here, but you know what? When we talk about this team and the shortcomings, I don't think that's mentioned enough. Yeah. Dennis Daly is not supposed to be out there. Dennis Daly is supposed to be the guy when they go tackle eligible, he comes in the game. He's starting. You know what I mean? This team... Chris, this team, no slight on John Reed, no slight on Greg Maven. They're NFL players. They've reached the pinnacle of this sport.
Absolutely.
This team had those guys out there.
I know.
Consistent.
I mean, you don't think that the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinators are looking at, you know, that person they're going to exploit? You don't think that they're going to put guys over there that they know that's going to tear his head off and get to the quarterback and let everybody else eat?
Look. Mike Williams had to catch. Greg Maven was in coverage. Now, in that play, there's not much you could do. Like, sometimes the other guy's going to make a play. But
what can you do?
It's just we have to look at the injury situation with this team.
Yeah, injury's bad. But this is what makes me mad about the whole injury thing. You can't blame the trainers. You can't blame them and blame the strength and conditioning guy. Oh, it's all their fault. Everybody's beat up. I know they're not beat up like the Tennessee Titans, but everybody's beat up. I mean, look at the Texans. I don't know if it's Pierce is playing.
He's on IR.
So that's their best running back. So, you know, you can sit here and cry over spilled milk, but here's the thing.
that we got to understand, TD. We both understand that each team, nobody cares.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Okay, you're down to your seventh corner. Guess what? I'm putting my lead receiver out there. We're going to take advantage. Right? We'll feel bad for you after the game.
Yeah,
but right now, I'm not taking any shorts. And that's just the way it is. It's eat or be eaten, you know?
It is. Well, when you do that, okay, let me give you a perfect example, and I know time's getting short, but just imagine when your top corner goes out. I'm just saying, you know, in general, your top corner goes out, and the quarterback sees that, then another guy that's not as good as him comes in. What do?
Attack that guy right away.
Look,
he doesn't even get a chance to retie his sneakers, man. He can't even tighten his gloves up. You know what I mean? They're going at him that quick. That's how it is, man.
Nobody cares.
But that's what I love about this game, the merciless approach. You know, the eat or be eaten. And it ain't going to be me. I love it. I love it about the game. It's a series of one-on-one matchups. And whoever wins more one-on-ones, that's who wins the game. And right now, to be honest with you, the Titans aren't winning enough one-on-one matchups. That's the problem.
And if I see if I'm an offensive coordinator and I see McCreary on the perimeter and say they go cover one, and I'm 6'4", 6'5", what do you think the offensive coordinator going to do?
We're going back shoulder all day. Back shoulder,
we
jump
go
ball.
Back shoulder, throw it up, jump ball.
Yeah, all that, man. Yeah, all that.
That's what we got to understand. Nobody cares. Nobody.
Yep. But I think we, as people discussing this, we don't have to care, but we have to recognize and acknowledge.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think that's happening. I'm talking about in general.
Yeah, no, I know you're talking about like on the field. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's something that we have to acknowledge and respect and understand.
Yep.
That's it.
But people want to win. And they're like, I don't care. We just need to figure out a way to win. And, you know, with the Titans situation, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if the Titans lose to the Texans this Saturday, I ain't turning on no radio. I ain't looking at no TV. I ain't even checking my mail.
Here you go, isolated. You gonna go Ricky Williams on him?
Man, yeah. I'm
just don't emerge with a beard like he had, man. On that note, man, we gotta get him out of here, man. What's up, everybody? This is Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports, and I want you to add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out the special odds boosts and promotions at Superbook.com. Make 2023 the year where you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
This is Jefferson, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. We're going to go to the ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter, DJ Bien-Aimé. That's right, you're going to hear him via the Sarah Chevy GMC Buick hotline. Boy, look, that's a lot to say, but we're going to make it through it. Got to hear a little Scarface coming in. DJ, what it do, man?
Not much, man. Actually, on the way to get a haircut, been looking kind of rough lately, just like this way this Houston, Texas season's been going, man. Real rough.
You going to get that fresh one to come here to this cold that we're looking at this weekend, man. I hear you. I guess what we'll do, I want to start out with this two-quarterback system because, I mean, like, what Coach Lovie Smith, does he think this is Steve Spurrier and the Florida Gators, like with Jesse Palmer and Doug Johnson? I don't know, but how are they making this thing work?
Well, it worked in week one. It worked against the Cowboys. It didn't work as much against the Chiefs. But the way they're making it work is when you get Jeff Driskel out there, it gives a different look. You know, kind of throws off the defense just a little bit. You got to prepare for two different quarterbacks. You don't know when you're gonna get either one.
Mm-hmm.
But against the Cowboys, you know, when they went two quarterback system, when Jeff was out there, they averaged about four yards per play. Against the Chiefs, it was 1.2 yards per play. And, you know, that was about 17 snaps there. So I don't know if they'll use it as much this week. because what they usually use it for, Tennessee will be really ready for, because, you know, Tennessee's really good at stopping the run. Like we saw the last time they played, where they held Damian Pierce under 10 yards, you know. So I think that when Jeff gets out there, it probably won't be as effective, because Tennessee knows how to stop the run, and it's pretty obvious. They're going to either run read option, or they're going to run, like, you know, bootleg and dump it out in the flat, which they tried to do, and both passes got batted down. So I think we'll see a little bit more Davis Mills this week. Like, the last week's been more like, you know, Cowboys, like, 50, it was 50-50 down the edge. I think it was around, like, 60-40 last week. I think we're going to be looking at more like 80-20, because I'm not saying it doesn't make any sense, but teams are catching on. Like, when you see Jeff out there, expect run and commit to stopping the run. So
when you look at this roster, I mean, there's so many guys questionable. I mean, look, I will say this. The injury report, it's lengthy for both of these teams. But one team, the Texans, you always have something to play for. But, I mean, like, there's, other than their pride, there's not really much that they're playing for. So I got to ask you this. How have they been just as far as being able to, you know, work through the week, get to game day? Is the energy really down? Like, what's it like in that locker room?
Energy is normal. At this point, it's all about professionalism. And in all honesty, like, the majority of the teams are basically either rookies, like, the guys that are playing are either rookies or guys on one-year deals, right? Like, they're currently, their entire secondary with Stingley out. Mm-hmm. There's only one guy in their secondary that is guaranteed to be on the roster next year, and that's Jalen Petrie. Mm. Jonathan Owens is a free agent after this year. Steven Nelson has no more guarantees on his deal going in 2023. Desmond King is a free agent. Tavier Thomas is also a free agent. Then you go to the D-line. Kerry Hughes, he's on a 2-year deal, but no guarantees after year one. Same with Mario Addison. Then you have Rasheen Green. He's on a 1-year deal. You have Malik Collins, their best running run stopper. He's on a 1-year deal. So you have all these guys, and, you know, the best linebacker, Christian Kirksey, he's on a 1-year deal. So you have all these guys that are basically on a bad team, but they know that whether they come back to the Texans or they play for another team, they have to put out good film regardless.
Yeah.
So that's why you haven't really seen them check out or give up, per se, because it's like, yo, like, at the end of this is a business, and whatever film I'm putting out there will be used against me or for me in 2023. So that, you know, that's how that's kind of been. I think that's the biggest difference from when I was covering the Jets last year versus when I'm covering the Texans this year. Last year, the Jets were young. They didn't really know any better. Versus this year, you have a lot of veterans that obviously, you know, understand the business of the NFL.
Yeah, and they know what to do. And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter DJ Bienname. DJ, Brandon Cooks, how has that been for him? I mean, this is a guy who clearly wanted to be traded. He wanted to get out of there. How has he worked through just coming back and you know, kind of being forced to still be in Houston?
Yeah, I mean, I think he came back and played the game after the Eagles game. And, you know, he was productive in that game and the Giants game. He's dealing with a calf. And that's basically that for the most part. You know, I think he did play against Miami, if my memory serves me correct. But he ended up dealing with a calf. Like, he's still been professional regardless. Like, because you understand it's a business. He's basically like, I'm just going to do my bid and then readdress everything in the offseason, you know. So that kind of, you know, leads the Texans to, like, even though they're not as bad as the record would indicate, but they're going to have to make a lot of moves in the offseason. So, one, you know, just implement a lot of younger talent, and two, they're going to need a quarterback. They're going to need another bona fide receiver because Cooks is probably gone. So, yeah, I mean, you know, even though this year has been kind of all over the place, been a lot of losing, been a lot of close games, and obviously, you know, Cooks has helped keep a lot of those games closed, but since he's been out, you know, it's basically just for him just trying to get healthy, be a professional, and readjust everything in the offseason.
What about the running back situation? You had mentioned that Damian Pierce is out. He's on IR. What has that looked like since he went down?
So last week, Royce Freeman led the team in carries. I mean, I think, yeah, he led the team in carries and rushing yards with 11 carries and 51 rushing yards. So obviously the running game under Damian Pierce. But, you know, Royce Freeman was effective. And you have Dare, who is their kind of their scat back, third down back, who's really good at catching passes out of the backfield. So their running game can still be effective, but that's why you also bring in Jeff, so Jeff can also help that running game per se, you know. So that's kind of like you put the overview on the running game. So you have Royce Freeman, you have Rex Burkhead, you have Dare, you have Jeff Driscoll. Obviously, none of those guys are Damian Pierce, but the O-line is solid, so I think regardless, they should be able to get some decent push and create some holes for the running back to run through.
Well, what is it like? What's the identity of this team? I mean, you mentioned two quarterbacks. You mentioned two different looks. What is this team's identity at this point, or do they even have one?
Well, yeah, that's a really great question. I don't know because, we're going to be a running team because you had Damian Pierce, and yeah, they knew their quarterback situation was kind of suspect. But now, obviously, Damian Pierce is hurt. They're using two quarterbacks. I guess you could say a defensive-led team that wants to run the ball and force turnovers and shorten the game to give them a chance to, you know, pull out certain wins. But, man, as you said, they don't have an identity, man. They really don't, in all honesty. That's why, you know, the seat for Lovey's game is getting warmer by the day, you know.
That's something that I'm curious about because you mentioned how this team is a defensive team. They try to keep it close. They want to go ball control. That's the typical approach that a defensive-minded head coach takes, and we know Lovie Smith is a defensive-minded head coach. So that being said, why should the seat get hot? I mean, is this not something that they understood was going to be the case?
Well, I mean, Lovey wasn't really, their first or second option. They kind of backed into Lovey.
Yes.
So, that's also played a factor into it, unfortunately. Also, the team is 1-12-1. In all honesty, they probably should have just kept David Cudley. Not because Lovey Smith has done, a bad job. But because, if he's getting warmer for Lovey, because, you know, they're not as good. But you kind of knew they weren't going to be that good. You look at the roster, you look at the cap situation. You knew
right. that draft situation.
It was going to be a little bit of a rebuild, you know. So why not just keep David, you know, instead of firing David and elevating Lovey, if you're just going to put him on a hot seat after 1 year? Because at that point, it was like, what's the point of getting rid of David, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, man, no, there's for sure a lot of confusion with that. But, you know, all I can do, I mean, I can always push back, but at the end of the day, when there's smoke, there's fire, you know? Obviously, you can throw in a contest, the team wasn't going to get you guys all together on the quarterback in the future, et cetera, et cetera. You guys are still in the rebuild, but, you know, sometimes plans change, you know?
Yeah, and I agree with you wholeheartedly on David Culley. I say, you know, you look at that last game, it was happened to be against the Titans. They played their butt out in that second half. You know, and these guys could have been thinking about, hey, you know what, got this trip to Antigua. You know, I got a London trip. I got the, you know what I mean? But they finished that half, and they finished on a high note under David Culley. And it's just like, okay, why even bring him in for 1 year, the year that you're getting rid of Deshaun Watson, and then fire the man, and then bring another one that looks like him? You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, yeah, you're following the quote-unquote rules, right, by – yeah, and adding to diversity, but are you really adding to diversity by these one and done situations? So it is a little frustrating seeing that. And you're right, you know, Lovey is in a bad situation. I guess we'll end on a high note because obviously, you know, we hit on a lot of negative things. But let me ask you this: the draft is coming up. This is a team that's in competition to have the top draft pick. Well, what do you think needs to happen in this draft, especially if they get that number one pick?
Oh, they got to go get a quarterback, man. Stadium is like the fan base. I won't say they're checked out. That's not the word I would use, but they're for sure disengaged. because they have nothing to root for. They don't have nothing to put their arms around, man. Like, there's a lot of time. I put, like, the game started 12. And there's been times when I've left my house. You know, I've been, like, about 12 minutes away. I've left my house at, like, 10:45. And I've gotten to my parking spot by, like, 11:20. Like, you, as an NFL reporter, you know, doggone well, there's a game at 12, a game at 1, home game. You probably need to leave your house about 2 hours prior because of traffic.
Right.
And there has not been that much traffic on the way to, like, get to the stadium. I check off, it looks half empty. Then people start to trickle in. So, yeah, now they got to get a quarterback to energize the franchise. And on top of that, like, to give their rebuild some validity. Because, again, like, you can only go so far without stability at the quarterback position, you know? Like, you can try to patch it together, but then eventually you're going to have a season where it all falls apart. So, from my perspective, they got to go quarterback, whether it's Bryce, whether it's Will Levis, whether it's Anthony Richardson. It doesn't really, for me, it doesn't really matter, because, like, or CJ Stroud. Because fans, they may not prefer one guy, but we all know how fans are. They get drafted, they're all going to rally behind that guy, and it's going to energize the fan base. So,
yeah.
Regardless, you know, then you got to get that new face of the franchise, because again, like, what's their identity? Who's the face of the franchise? We have, like, they're a faceless franchise, so they got to fix that and turn that around.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I agree with you there. It's going to be interesting seeing how this whole thing plays out. You got a lot in front of you this offseason, man, but you know what? I may have a lot in front of me as well, so we'll just ride through it together. Well, yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on, DJ. Go ahead and let them know your socials so that way they can follow your work. And make sure ESPN.com, click on the NFL page, then Texans page. That's where you'll be able to stay caught up with the Titans opponent this week.
Yeah, you know, they can find me at, you know, on my Twitter, DJ Bienname, or just go to ESPN, click Houston Texans, and you'll find my work there.
There you have it right there. Appreciate you, man. Hit me up when you get in town.
Oh, I will do, brother. Will do.
All right. So that was DJ Bienname, ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter, giving you the rundown. That's where you got to go. You want any information on the Texans, the Titans opponent this week, make sure you go to ESPN.com, click the NFL page, then Texans, you'll see what he has going on there and a whole lot of other stuff. So shout out to DJ for coming on. Shout out to Chris Sanders for coming on. As always, Run TMC, we make this thing work, man. That was a great conversation, and I appreciate his transparency, right? And that just lets you know how much that man cares for the game, how much he cares for his players, and you got to love and respect that. And speaking of caring for the game, my guy David James cared for the game because he is on here every week making this thing happen. Go ahead and let him know.
Oh, yeah, always, man. Always out of here.
Do what you do. And most importantly, I always end with you guys because it's the reason why we do this show. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate all of you who follow. You got the alert set up to hear us when we go live, man. I appreciate that. And definitely those of you who don't follow us, those of you who don't subscribe, check us out, Talking with TD on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Rate, review, and of course, subscribe first. But above all else, we appreciate you. We're out of here.